Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So have you ever maybe had a big meal, maybe heavy with some carbs and sweets, and then you don't feel good maybe 30 minutes later or so? You're a little dizzy, a little sweaty. That could be something known as reactive hypoglycemia, or what is sometimes called postprandial hypoglycemia, after you eat low blood sugar. And that's what I want to talk to in this about in this segment. And the reason I want to, because we talk so much about the flip side of this, right? The hyperglycemia, the diabetes, the prediabetes, and we need to have that discussion more and more because it's epidemic in this country. And diabetes probably falls just right under smoking for causing all kinds of other problems. So smoking, number one, causes just about every disease. And then number two comes diabetes. I mean, diabetes affects your heart, your brain, gut, everything. So I want to talk more about the high blood sugar, but I thought maybe we should talk a little bit about low blood sugar, specifically this type of reactive hypoglycemia, this after you eat low blood sugar, which affects, you know, if you look at the prevalence, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10% of the U.S. adult population. And so I want to talk about ways that we can treat that. Now, what are the causes of it? You know, that's, I think, that's a common question that we get as doc. You know, why does it happen? Why do I feel this way after I eat? We don't really know exactly why. Well, we know the mechanism involved. You know, I know that if you have postprandial or reactive low blood sugar, meaning after you eat, what's happening is for whatever reason, you're spiking your blood level of insulin. And that spiking of insulin in your blood is, you know, just takes all of the sugar in your blood and throws it into the cells. And so that your blood level of sugar can drop pretty quickly, you know, say about 30 minutes after you eat. Now, why is that bad? Well, your blood sugar level needs to stay at a consistent amount because your brain needs a certain amount of glucose at all times. It kind of needs to be bathed in that. So the average blood sugar level, 80, 90, 100, something like that, is what the brain needs just to survive. And when you drop below that, the brain doesn't like it, and you start to feel sick. You start to maybe even pass out. The brain, you know, when you pass out and fall down, the brain's just trying to get more blood into it, into the brain. So you pass out and fall down. So you're not fighting gravity anymore. That's why you pass out. So that's, we know what's happening. We know it's this insulin spike that's driving the sugar out of the blood and into the cells. Exactly why does that happen in some people? That's what we don't fully understand. Why do some people, 5 to 10% of the adult U.S. population, why do they get this surge in insulin that's exaggerated? I mean, you should have some insulin release, but why is it exaggerating some? And that's, of course, you know, if you came into my office with this, you know, I would look at your pancreas and I would look at other places that produce these tumors that can make insulin. So assuming that I didn't find any of that, right? Assuming we don't have any of these insulin-producing tumors, which are pretty rare, we don't really know why you're spiking insulin, right? So why not, let's focus a little bit more then on what maybe we can do about it to help you feel better and maybe minimize the insulin spike, minimize the loss of blood sugar, okay? So that maybe you don't have, so maybe we can bring down those symptoms a little bit and you feel a little bit better. Now, if you ever, the first thing I want to say about treating low blood sugar, hypoglycemia, you know, if it ever gets really bad, so let's say you have a meal, you don't feel good at all, and it's like one of the worst ones, you're sweaty, you're at work, you're driving, you know, whatever it is, the first thing you might want to do is just eat some sugar. The best you can, you know, drink a Coke. This is the one time I would take to drink a sugary drink. You know, you can do a honey packet or a sugar packet under the tongue. Why under the tongue? Because things absorb really easily when you place it under the tongue. So that would help in those acute situations where you just got to get that sugar level up. But what about just managing this overall? How can we manage this so it doesn't happen like that? Obviously, you know, lifestyle suggestions, you got to watch the refined carbohydrates, the white flour, the white rice, the processed sugars. Try to eat more smaller meals throughout the day. That's not just good for metabolism, it's good for managing insulin. Avoid alcohol when you haven't eaten a lot. Yeah, that is one cause of insulin surges. When you haven't eaten, okay, and you drink alcohol, that will surge insulin, and that seems to really take that sugar out of the blood. So be careful there. And then, of course, just try to manage your diet better. Avoid high glycemic foods, right? Those are the basic lifestyle things we talked about. What about nutrients, though, that can help with this? Well, fiber is important. Try to get more soluble fiber in your diet. One of my favorites is glucomannan. This is a fiber that will act like a gel. It'll trap some of the sugars you're eating. It'll release the sugars more slowly into the bloodstream, which will help to minimize the insulin spike. So eating soluble fibers with every meal could be very helpful. Chromium. You know, chromium is something we use in diabetics, pre-diabetics. Chromium is a mineral that helps to manage how your body deals with insulin and sugar. So chromium could be helpful. About 250 micrograms a day of chromium. You can take it with or without meals. Doesn't really matter. Green coffee bean extract. You know, green coffee has an antioxidant in it called chlorogenic acid. Chlorogenic acid is interesting because it works different than chromium. Chromium works more at the cell level, inside the cell. The green coffee bean extract with chlorogenic acid is working more in your gut. Chlorogenic acid is able to slow down the activity of some of the carbohydrate digesting enzymes. So when you eat carbs, sugar, starches, you have enzymes like amylase, for instance, sucrase. These are enzymes that your pancreas makes to break down those carbs into the simple sugar so you can absorb them. Well, if you can slow down the activity of those enzymes, you're not knocking them out, but you're just going to slow down how fast that they're gobbling up those carbs. That will also slow down the rate at which sugar goes from your gut into your blood. That's important because if I slow down the rate of sugar from my gut into my blood, I'm going to bring down that insulin spike. I'm going to minimize it, which is what we're trying to do. So green coffee bean extract, that is standardized to about 50% chlorogenic acid is what you want to do. Another one that inhibits some of those carb digesting enzymes is white kidney bean. Now, unfortunately, you really can't eat the white kidney bean because the compounds in the white kidney bean that are inhibiting the enzymes really aren't released until well into your small intestine. So white kidney beans are good. Please eat them. There's fiber in there. They're good for you. But you're not going to inhibit the digesting enzymes. So you really need to do a white kidney bean extract. And again, just like with the green coffee bean, there's compounds in the white kidney bean that will inhibit or slow down the activity of those digesting enzymes, slowing down the absorption of the sugar, bringing down the insulin spike. Certain seaweed extracts kind of work the same way. Brown seaweed and kelp. There's compounds in those that have been shown to, limit the amount of sugar that's going to get into your system. There's even some evidence that the seaweed extracts can work at helping insulin to be a little bit more sensitive in the body so the body doesn't have to release so much insulin. That's known as insulin resistance. Some good research looking at seaweeds and how they can manage that aspect of the insulin release. So there are things you can do, right? Chromium, green coffee bean, white kidney bean, seaweed extracts. All of these can help if you're someone who suffers from postprandial hypoglycemia. Try some of those out. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.